From the Fort Payne Church of Christ, join us now as Jimmy Holland preaches the simple gospel of Christ. And now, here's Jimmy.
As has already been stated, we are so thankful to have all of you with us this morning, especially those of you who are visiting with us. You are our honored guest. We appreciate your presence, and we encourage you to come back every opportunity that you may have. We began a discussion last week on how we need to rise up and love, and how one of our goals, one of the things that we want to do better is to rise up and to love. And we looked in great detail last week at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we looked at God's description of love. We see what God says it means to truly love, to agape others. And that's to do what is in their best interest, to want what is best for them. That's a very simple definition of that word. But look at the description that Paul gave us there. This morning, I want to build upon that and ask a question. What is the point of Christian teaching? You know, we put a lot of emphasis on Christian teaching. We talk about and we emphasize and encourage personal Bible study. We encourage coming together and studying God's Word as a forever family. We get together outside of Bible classes to study, to grow together in that way. We listen to sermons. We have our worship services. But have we ever stopped to think, what's the point of doing all that? Why such the emphasis on Christian teaching? It is vitally important. It is so important that we grow in knowledge. But is the goal to impress God with how much we know? Is our goal to impress one another with our vast knowledge of what the Bible teaches? Yeah, I remember when I was in kindergarten, and we had a goal that if you could count from 1 to 100 without any help, you got a prize. If you impressed the teacher by doing that, she would buy you an ice cream sandwich. I don't know what made that ice cream sandwich so special, but we all wanted an ice cream sandwich. So we studied and we tried and we worked until we could count 1 to 100. And when she gave us the 50 cents to go to the ice cream machine and buy that ice cream sandwich, it was like they presented us with a new car or something. But is that why we put so much emphasis on teaching? Is so that we can impress God with our knowledge? Is it so we can impress one another with our knowledge? Is it so that we'll know the rules so we'll know which ones we can break and which ones we can't? What's the point? That's what I want us to talk about this morning. Number one, the point of Christian teaching is not to make us lawyers. When you look at the first century and you hear that term lawyer being used, these were men, Jews of who knew the Old Testament law. They knew the old law frontwards, backwards, and sideways. And not only did they know the old law so well, but they were also experts on the traditions, the rabbinical traditions that the Pharisees had added to God's law, to the Old Testament. So they knew, they had a vast knowledge of all of this. And in Luke chapter 10, if you have your Bibles, I want to ask you to open there. Luke 10 is a story that we're familiar with. This is the Jesus giving us the parable of the Good Samaritan. But in Luke 10, Jesus and a lawyer are having a conversation about the subject of loving your neighbor. Loving God and loving your neighbor. Now, if you look at what's being said here in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25, you see that the lawyer understood what God's law said. Look at verse 27. And the lawyer answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself." So, and Jesus tells him in the next verse, you answer correctly. This is someone who was familiar with the law. He knew what God's law was. You need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and then you need to love your neighbor as yourself. He knew that. Jesus didn't have to tell him this information, but notice what happens next. But because he was wanting to justify himself, the lawyer tried to debate with Jesus the meaning of a word. And that word was neighbor. Well, who's my neighbor? Now, what Jesus and what God's law said was straightforward. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. But here you have someone who's trying to say, well, you tell me who my neighbor is. Because if I could change that term neighbor, then that shrinks my responsibility, doesn't it? It doesn't mean that I have to love everybody that I come in contact with. If I can change that term to what I want, if I can find a legal loophole there, then there's a lack of responsibility. There's a shrinking of responsibility there. But notice when Jesus answers by giving the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus closes that loophole. Jesus doesn't allow him to think that there's a way around God's teaching or God's law. Those who want to be lawyers when it comes to the Bible are the ones who attend Bible study, they memorize scripture, they listen to sermons, but not to make themselves better, not to apply it to themselves, but so they can load heavy burdens on other people and find a way around that when it comes to how it applies to them. An example of this is what Jesus says in Luke 11 in verse 46 when he made the statement, "Woe to you lawyers also, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers." You know the law so well. You know how it applies to everybody else, but yet you fail to apply it to yourself. These are the ones that will hear a lesson and they'll give a list or make a list of 50 people that lesson applies to, but yet not me. You know, you don't need to be watching that. Well, that really doesn't apply to me because I know how strong I am. I know what the Bible teaches when it comes to that, so it doesn't affect me like it affects you. So this applies to you. It really doesn't apply to me. Is that what God wants of us? Is that why he wants us to grow in knowledge so we can find loopholes to try to get out of obedience to him? So we can apply what God says to everybody else instead of ourselves. The goal when it comes to study, those who are wanting to be lawyers, their goal is to find out why everyone else is wrong and why we're right, or they're right. Their goal is to justify why they can continue to do what they are doing and why everyone else needs to stop. That's not the point of Christian teaching. The point of Christian teaching is not to make us philosophers or historians or scholars. You know, there are some who love the way it feels to know more than others. You know, they revel in having a superior knowledge. And you know that because they use every opportunity that they can to demonstrate how smart they are, to show how intelligent they are and how vast their knowledge truly is on a subject. You know, whether it has something to do with the lesson or not, they love throwing out historical facts or tidbits about original languages. They love to speculate on what a passage might mean or what life might have been like in in that ancient city. I can remember not too long ago, it's been a few years ago, teaching a class. And having someone like that in the class where they were trying to really misapply what a passage meant. And when it was pointed out, well, that really doesn't fit the context or doesn't fit the context of the chapter or the Bible, the response was, you know, I've read a lot of books on this and I really know what I'm talking about. Does God want us to be that type? Is that the goal? Is to speculate? Those who are wanting to be historians or philosophers or scholars seem to believe the whole point of Scripture is simply to be knowledgeable, and that's it. To know as much as possible, but just stop there. Knowledge is an interesting thing. Knowledge is important. In fact, knowledge is necessary. Open with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 10, and I want us to notice what's said about knowledge. In Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, Paul says that my desire for the house of Israel is for them to be saved. That's what Paul wanted. Paul wanted all Jewish people to be saved. I want the house of Israel to be saved. But notice what he says in verse 2. They have a zeal, but not according to what? Knowledge. They have the passion. They have the desire. But they don't have the knowledge. Is Paul making that statement in a positive light? Or is that a criticism? It's a criticism. They don't have the knowledge they need. Here's what Paul says about knowledge later in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. He says, God's desire is for all men to be saved. And what? And to come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants us to have knowledge. It's important. It's necessary. I can't know what God expects of me, what God's will is for my life, without having a knowledge of Him and His Word. But it can be detrimental when knowledge becomes an end unto itself. When knowledge itself is the goal, it makes a person arrogant and idle. I know more than you. Because I know more than you, I'm better than you. Because I know more than you, you're the one that has to work hard. You're the one that has to try hard. I don't, because I know. I already know what it says. It promotes endless and fruitless debates. I was in a Bible class one time where there were two men who just loved to, really, to just argue with each other. And there, after one particular class, I pulled them aside and asked one of them, I said, do you even believe half the stuff that you say? He says, no, I just like playing the devil's advocate. I just like to argue. Is that what God wants? Notice what Paul says about knowledge in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1. They had knowledge. They knew that eating meat offered to idols didn't mean anything. But notice that Paul says that their knowledge caused them to be puffed up. It caused them to be arrogant. Why? Because they weren't using their knowledge. They just had it. The whole point of the book of James seems to be dealing with Christians who thought themselves to be wise teachers. But they weren't. They may have known the Scriptures, but they weren't wise teachers because they weren't applying it to themselves. They weren't doing it. They had no good works to show. Zeal without knowledge is just as dangerous as knowledge without zeal. It's not enough just to know. I have to do it. I have to use it. So what's the point of Christian teaching? The point is love. And this is how these lessons tie in. Last week's lesson and this week's lesson. Let's go back to our scripture reading. Our scripture reading In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5, I appreciate that being read this morning, says, the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Our charge, our goal is love. The only way that we can have a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can't develop these three things without the gospel. Without hearing the gospel, without gaining a knowledge of the gospel, without understanding what I must do in order to obey the gospel. And the more the eyes of my heart is enlightened to the glorious truth of the gospel, the more I learn about it, the more my knowledge of the gospel grows, the more that we should experience a pure heart, a sincere faith, and a good conscience. And here's how it should work. We study. In our personal time, we study together. We come together for Bible classes. We listen to sermons. We hear during worship services and on our own time, so that we have an understanding of the good news of Jesus Christ. And when we understand and are living in obedience to the good news, the gospel, the result is a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. And if those three things, I'll get that out in a minute, are true, what's the result? What's the fruit that we're going to bear? It's love, isn't it? It's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 15. That our charge is love that comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Now you go back and you look at what Paul said love is in 1 Corinthians 13 verses 4 through 6. Paul says love is patient and kind. It does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. When you see the description of love, it is the exact opposite of everything else we've talked about this morning. Why? Because the more I grow in knowledge of God's Word, the more I live it, the more His word transforms me. The natural result can't be anything but love. Others will be able to see this love that we have for one another. For the love we have for others. And that's how they're going to know that we're truly Jesus' disciples. Isn't that what Jesus said in John 13:35? A new commandment that I give unto you, that you love one another. And the world may know that you're my disciples by the love that you have for one another. Notice, Jesus doesn't say by the great knowledge that you boast about in front of other people, but by the love that you have for one another. But I can't love properly without knowledge. And I can't love properly if I don't apply that knowledge to myself, if I don't put that knowledge to good use, to be what God wants me to be. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to continue to discuss different aspects of love in regard to Christian living. And my prayer is that we will all strive to love others the way that God loves us. But it's also my prayer that we will challenge ourselves to be better if we find ourselves somewhere we don't want to be. You see, we're able to be here today. We're able to have the hope of heaven and of forgiveness because of the love that God had for us and has for us. But notice, God didn't just talk about how much He loves us. But Paul says in Romans 5 and verse 8 that God demonstrated His love. God proved His love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So my question this morning is, what are you going to do with that love? Have you taken advantage of it? Have you made the greatest decision that you can ever make, the decision of submitting your life to Christ, of obeying the gospel, and becoming one of His children? If that's what you need to do this morning, please don't leave before you begin changing or repenting of your sins by confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and have every sin you've ever committed washed away by the blood of Christ through the waters of baptism, to rise up forgiven, to rise up a new creation, to begin living that faithful life. Maybe you've done that, but somewhere along the way, maybe you haven't been loving the way that you need to love. Maybe you haven't been applying the knowledge of God's Word to your own life like you should. You know the changes you need to make, and you can start making them right where you sit this morning. Maybe you need us, though, as your forever family to pray with you, to encourage you. We're always honored to do that. If we can help you in any way this morning, please won't you come as we stand and as we sing.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget.
We hope you've enjoyed another lesson from God's Word. We invite you to join us at our worship services at the Fort Payne Church of Christ. Bible study Sunday morning at 9:30, worship service Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday Bible study at 6:30 p.m. Visit us at our website at www.fortpaynecoc.com.
Oh, heaven came down and glory filled my soul.